What is up, my friends? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, or the Alex Allen on Instagram and TikTok. And this is my podcast where I help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. All right, let's get to it. Today, we have a very delayed episode. This is something I probably should have made an episode about a while ago. I feel like I say that often now. But it is basically my journey from yo-yo to sustainable, my journey of losing 60 pounds twice and how I'm now able to actually keep the weight off. And for those of you who don't know me, I just want to do like a little brief, this is my story. So then that way, obviously, you can kind of hear it, understand it. I'm an online fitness coach. I have been for 4 years and I've been a personal trainer for almost a decade now. I have done other things in the meantime. Like I was a firefighter. I did stunts and acting and I've just pursued other things, but fitness has always been a constant over the past 10 years. And that is one of the reasons I'm able to keep the weight off now, which is a whole other, I'll continue that in a little bit. But basically I started from a place of really not loving myself. I did what most people do in college and I gained the freshman 15, which in my case was first the freshman 40 and then it kind of continued to be like the freshman 60. And I started to gain weight just because of what was kind of typical in college where I finally got a car, which I didn't have in high school. So I like walked everywhere in high school and I started drinking a lot more, partying a lot more, just like staying up really late, not treating myself well, going out to eat for pretty much every single meal. I wasn't very active. Like I didn't play sports or anything. So I put on weight. Like I wasn't really moving much. I was eating a lot and wasn't taking care of myself. So as I put on the weight, then I went through a very personal loss, which I've also talked about before, where my boyfriend passed away and I turned to food and alcohol for a while, which is what kind of continued to perpetuate the weight gain. And it wasn't until summer of my freshman year, which like, so going into my sophomore year of college, which sounds kind of fast. I really did put weight on initially very, very quickly, which I think is why this is kind of like an expedited sounding story. But then that summer was when I was basically faced with the recognition of what are you doing with your life? Like you don't feel good. You're sick all the time. You're miserable. You're basically just sad. And I kind of saw myself in multiple pictures from earlier that year or from different times throughout that year. And I didn't recognize the person that I saw. And as I mentioned, I was also sick very frequently, which is what kind of pushed me to continue to try to better myself. So I got a Groupon, which I feel like is what a lot of people did back then. And I also started running because it was free. I was in college. I didn't have much money. So I was like, okay, these are free things for me to do. So let me just do this. And I just kind of found books online or at Barnes & Noble where I found like nutrition books and books specifically about being vegan because I just saw vegans and they were always tending to be very like lean. And so I was like, oh, okay, if I eat like them, then I'll look like them, which is something else that I learned down the line isn't necessarily true. And because I started running a lot, plus doing the Groupon class, so I was moving a lot more and I was also not eating nearly enough, I lost weight. And it was in a rather unsustainable way because of the way I did it. Like a lot of movement, no, very minimal resistance training. But in this Groupon class, the bootcamp instructors were working out at 24 Hour Fitness and they were all bodybuilders. So they were people who did bikini competitions or bodybuilding competitions. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do this. Like this looks so cool. Like they're so fit. How do I do this? So I joined 24 Hour Fitness and I was very fortunate where I was taken under the wing of the fitness manager there. They basically tried to get me to buy personal training at first. And I'm like, no, I'm actually trying to learn how to be a personal trainer myself. Also, I'm broke. So no. And to have the personal trainer kind of take me under his wing was huge. Or like the fitness manager was huge. He taught me all about like program design and just how to be a great trainer, how to connect with your clients. And I was very fortunate where I've always been rather outgoing. And so it was really easy for me to connect with people. And then to have that education on top of it was just so helpful. And obviously I got my certifications and just started to learn more from there. So I started personal training And I obviously still had so much to learn. Like, I think that that's something that's so important to recognize is we all have so much to learn. And even as like a personal trainer, many trainers don't know that much about nutrition. We aren't really taught that much about it. We also aren't taught a lot about the connection between mental health or mindset and your well-being or weight loss or weight gain. So those are all things that played a huge role down the line. But to go from running a bunch and being vegan to now I'm introduced to a lot of people who aren't vegan and I'm like, oh, okay, like I'll just start eating meat again. And I had cut out caffeine completely. And I did this whole like, I'm going to call it like almost like a cleanse where I was like, I am quote clean eating and I'm doing all of the things. And I was like pristine. And this is me at like 19 years old. I didn't really have a social life anymore. But then I started to meet people at the gym and I was like, well, these are nice people. I started to date one of the people who worked there and we all started to like hang out together, like all of his friends. And a lot of them like drank and partied. And so I kind of like fell back into that. And I also, again, obviously started to just eat differently and I started to train differently. I stopped running as much and I started focusing more on like heavy weightlifting. Eventually, I met powerlifters and I also met firefighters. So I started training with a lot of the firefighters because I wanted to become one. So that changed my training immensely. I also started training like a powerlifter because I really wanted to get stronger and have like a really great foundation. The thing about all the people I was hanging out with was you eat a lot. Everyone there is like always eating. And I was like, okay, cool. Gotta fill the muscles. I gotta eat. So I started to eat a lot more with the intention of just trying to get stronger and put on more muscle. What I didn't really realize was I was eating in excess. And then as I was going through like the fire academy and different cadet services, so like volunteering or basically like internships, I ended up going through a time where the battalion chief at one of the locations near me, the battalion chief basically had made my situation very inappropriate and put me in an uncomfortable situation. When I addressed it with other people at the department, it was basically faced as, well, then you're probably just not a good fit here. So my concerns weren't taken seriously, unfortunately, and I left the service. And that led me to turn to food because I had pursued this thing that I was so passionate about and thought was going to be like the thing I did for the rest of my life. And I was like, how could anyone not want to do this? And it was really heartbreaking. And so I turned to essentially binge eating. It was that because I would basically just turn to food to regulate my emotions. I won't go very deep on it, so I won't like trigger people with that. But that's the extent of like what I'll talk about there. I can do a whole episode if people are actually interested in it. And then I started to better understand my emotional well-being and I had a great boyfriend at the time. This was like a different boyfriend than the one I mentioned before. And he really helped me start to understand me as a human being and really like pursue getting to know myself better. And he encouraged me to do a bikini competition. And he had friends who had done it. And I was like, cool, that sounds awesome. Like, I've never done that. All these people look amazing again. So I kept being drawn in by the physical appearance and not really understanding realistic expectations long term. But so I did it and I ended up getting down to 104 pounds. So I had gone from one extreme when I had first gained weight to losing the weight very quickly because, again, of like running, so overtraining, under eating. And then I gained a lot of weight back again from, again, like the powerlifting and then also from like over consuming food and then eventually turning it into, at the time, an eating disorder, and then basically went down like the opposite route where I went back to like barely eating anything and then again overtraining and overdoing it with cardio. And to get down to that 104 pounds, I'm 5'2", just for like perspective, which is still very small for that height. And I was basically eating 900 calories a day. I was working out 7 days a week. I was in the gym either training 7 days a week and doing cardio 7 days a week. Not either. I was doing both. And I was also working in retail at the time. So I was on my feet and I was getting like 30,000 steps a day. So I was just very active. And after the show, I went through such a fear of gaining weight again that I was terrified and I basically kept myself heavily restricted for a very extended period of time. And it took a lot of unlearning to get to a point where I could start to eat in a balanced way without completely fearing food. So that's just the introduction, like kind of personal story of what I went through during my weight gain and my weight loss. And one thing I really didn't understand at the time was because it was so driven out of either aesthetics, so purely like looking at myself in the mirror and being like, I don't like what I see, or just the fact that the weight gain happened from wanting just fit in or not understanding my emotions or trying to suppress my emotions. And the number one thing I learned on my personal journey with weight gain was that I had lacked education. So I didn't understand energy balance. I didn't understand what I needed to do to like be able to even just maintain. I also lacked emotional intelligence and emotional regulation. And I also didn't understand the impacts of gaining and losing weight multiple times and how it does actually make things more difficult down the line. And I was very fortunate where this happened at a younger age and it didn't happen to a huge extreme. Like obviously 60 pounds both times is a lot, but there are people who have been through a lot greater weight loss and weight regain. And so I think it's really important to just kind of like note that. But the things that I've learned that have actually, the biggest mistakes that I made was I focused so heavily on the aesthetic portion that I didn't even care how I felt. I didn't, both physically and mentally. And I also didn't put into consideration what I actually enjoyed, like what truly made me happy. It was, a lot of it was fear-based, like fear of gaining weight back, fear of dealing with the things that scared me. And it led me to very unsustainable practices. And again, like very unhealthy relationships with food, exercise, and myself. I also focused very heavily on restriction. So very low calorie diets, very limited food choices. Again, eating quote clean because I thought that's what I needed to do. And it can be very damaging to constantly be focusing on what you can't have, especially because then there would be times where the weekends would come around and we would get sushi or something, and I would be able to put down like 5 or 6 huge rolls, no problem. And looking back, it was because I was so underfed that by the time the weekend came around or by the time those things came around, I was so hungry. I just needed food. Like I was just starving. And so that's why it's so easy to overconsume at that time. I also focused heavily on overtraining. I was very fortunate where I was younger at the time. And then also the training modalities I chose, I tend to not push myself too hard, but I would just do a lot of it. And it ended up getting me very burnt out. Like I was just exhausted all the time. I had no sex drive. My menstrual cycle was messed up. I was just tired. And I was fortunate where, this is going to sound weird, I was fortunate where I was on hormonal birth control. Like I got on it at this time and it regulated and suppressed a lot of this. I was fortunate because I just didn't deal with a lot of the feeling not great for a lot of it. So I just was operating at like a baseline level of shittiness and just didn't care. The reason it wasn't good is I was just suppressing stuff. So all of these things are going on in my body, but like my body's not responding the way it probably should have because I'm just suppressing all of the hormones that would have told me otherwise. And then also obviously like I was focusing very heavily on these quick fixes or very unrealistic expectations or programs that I wouldn't be able to maintain long term. And like I knew that. Like I couldn't eat 900 calories a day for the rest of my life. You can't even eat 1200 calories or 1500 calories every day for the rest of your life. Like you can eat that in one meal a lot of times. So expecting you to be able to maintain that forever is just so, honestly, looking back at it, I give myself grace by understanding I didn't know any better. But at the same time, I'm like, Alex, how could you not like realize how bad that was? And again, give yourself grace to understand that like you just didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. And similarly, like the amount of training that I was doing, it wasn't realistic for me to keep up long term, which in turn is going to lead to a decreased energy output. So whatever you're currently weighing or whatever you're currently doing, if you can't maintain the amount of volume that you're doing it at, whether it is the training or it is the lack of food, if you can't maintain that forever, you're going to fluctuate. And so this is where like the sustainable habits kind of comes in. And this is what's really like changed my life in that sense. I shifted my focus to a more sustainable approach. Like I stopped trying to focus so heavily on what can I take away? And I started focusing more on what could I add? So I started to get a better understanding. Like I was very fortunate where in the bodybuilding and in the bikini competition that I did have a good understanding of protein. So I always did a really good job of like making sure I got enough. And it was very like from a bro place at that time. And then eventually got to a point where I understood like fiber and I understood like the other macronutrients. So I started to be able to balance things out a little bit more, which helped a lot in the long run. And so basically I started emphasizing whole foods. So like mostly whole, minimally processed, nutrient dense foods, just because it does offer long-term health. So it gives you micro and macronutrients. But then it also offers a lot of satiety. So it keeps my hunger cues a lot more regulated. And you do that by having balanced meals, like having protein sources at every single meal, having some sort of fiber source at almost every single meal. And by doing that, that alone is already going to regulate so much. So I found a way of eating that I actually enjoy and I can actually do 80 to 90% of the time. And it doesn't make me feel miserable. It doesn't make me feel guilty. It doesn't take a lot of thought. Like I don't have to overthink. I'm very intentional about like the food that I am eating. Like I know what I'm eating. I do plan out my meals to a decent amount. But because I've been doing it for so long, it doesn't require that much thought or effort anymore. From there, I drink more water. I still struggle with that sometimes, but like I used to drink like a cup a day and call it a day and think that was fine. But now like I actually make the conscious effort of like having a 64 ounce jug with me a lot of the times, having it always be full, or if it's not full, I get up and I go fill it up. So it's something that I'm just more conscious of and like appreciate more because it does make me feel better. I sleep more. Sleep has been a huge thing for the past like 10 years. Basically like the moment I started doing this, I was like, Alex, you need to sleep. Because again, I had a lot of friends who loved to go out and it made it really difficult because I felt like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to be the boring one. It's not going to be any fun. And I started to just get more curious about things that I could do outside during the day to like hang out with people and still do stuff and like not be boring. Because like I didn't know what else to do besides going to bars. And I lived in California at the time and we have hiking, we have the beach. I was never like an outdoorsy gal. And that's going to bring me to like my next one, which is my mindset shifted completely about my identity because I was like, I'm not an outdoorsy girl. And I'm still not, to be honest. Like I don't want to go on a super intense, like very strenuous hike. That's not for me. But I do like going on like a nice leisurely one, or I love walking. I love me a nice hot girl walk. Get me a coffee on the weekend, hang out with my friends, just go walk around with like my nice iced coffee. I feel so nice. It is such a good time to talk to my friends. It is such a good time for me to just like listen to a podcast. You can listen to me on there. but I started to change my identity and ask myself like, what do I truly enjoy? I also got more curious about other things I could do that don't just have to be what society tells you. Like it doesn't have to be drinking alcohol. It doesn't have – and I – what's hard is I feel like every time I bring up alcohol or partying or anything, I have to give the caveat. I don't care what you do. If it makes you happy to do that, more power to you. I love you for it. Like great. If it doesn't, then why do you do it? And I think more people need to like ask themselves those questions. Because again, like this whole podcast is essentially about how I'm able to like maintain the weight loss. And I understand like I have talked about like how I've shifted my mindset, how I'm focusing on more whole nutrient dense foods and like I eat more regularly. And then I also talked about the fact that like my identity has changed. And even if you want to lose weight, which is totally fine, it is such a valid goal. And I think that it's so frustrating to see people hate on other people for wanting to change the way their body looks. Whatever. You can love yourself now and want to change the way your body looks. That's fine. I would way rather have you love yourself the way you love, like look now, than hate yourself, try to get down to a smaller body, hate yourself there too, and then just kind of yo-yo like I did because you never really did the things that even made you happy in the first place. So that's kind of like another point, which is sustainability. The secret is sustainable changes. The hard thing is people try to change their habits from 0 to 100 real quick. Like they try and drink their like fancy mixed frappuccino thing and then they go to black coffee. Of course you're miserable. That sounds awful to have a nice like sugary like caffeinated drink in the mornings and then to switch it to something that like arguably is very bitter. I love black coffee, by the way. Like I'm not hating on coffee. I'm hating on the fact that of course you're not able to sustain it. Like you're changing so much overnight. What if instead, so this is one of the tricks that I did to help me maintain the weight loss, I stopped trying to do things all at once. If you are a California human, you know Phil's coffee smacks. It is so good. They have this drink called a mint mojito. And you, which always makes me think of Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State, but that's fine. So they have this drink called a mint mojito and you could order it. They recommend ordering it sweet and creamy, which means like heavy on the sweet, heavy on the creamy. And that is exactly what I did. And I did that like pretty much daily. And I would always get a large and it was great. As I started this health and fitness journey, I started to slowly just reduce it. So I slowly started getting a medium instead. And then I got a small. And then I asked for it like medium sweet and creamy. And then I asked for it light and sweet and creamy. So this was a really slow progression. That doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But the reason I like black coffee now is because I didn't just go from like one day to the next being like, oh, here's my really sweet and creamy large coffee to here's my large black coffee. It took time. And I gave myself the grace to just slowly make those adjustments. Even if you listen to the other stuff that I'd already mentioned I didn't just change overnight. I started with running because it's free. And I was like, I'm just going to go outside and do this thing. So I just started moving more. And then eventually I worked my way into the gym. As I got into the gym, I started lifting weights a little bit more frequently. As I started lifting weights more frequently, I got into like powerlifting. Like I tried so many different things that all kind of revolved around like a similar modality of like lifting weights, which I think is an important one to note for a sustainable change. I love doing other things. I've done Pilates, I've done yoga, I've done pole dancing, I've done rock climbing. I love doing other things. I think it is so fun. I totally understand the community aspect of it. I think it is so important. But resistance training has so many long-term health benefits, especially for women. Especially for women. So I think it is so important for women to resistance train at least twice a week. Bare minimum. From there, if you do have aesthetic goals or you do have long-term weight loss or weight maintenance goals, resistance training is huge. Not just for like the building muscle aspect of it, because I know everyone tries to argue like building muscle, what do people say? People say like you have like 50 calories for every pound of muscle built, which isn't true, but that's besides the point. Building muscle is good for you. It's good for long-term fat loss. It is good for long-term health. It is good to combat long-term health complications. So you should be doing that paired with movements that you enjoy. And you can enjoy the gym. I think this is the actual kicker. So I'll say that strength training is one of the things that I do now that is helping me maintain my weight management, I guess is the way I should have said that. But the other thing is I legitimately enjoy all of the things that I do. Doesn't mean I always am in the mood to do it. No. But I like doing it. I love lifting weights. It's really fun for me. I dance around. I listen to fun music. I have a blast. Does that mean everyone's going to enjoy it the same amount I do? No. So if you don't, cool. Do it 2 times a week. And then do other stuff that you really love. That's fine. Let's compromise. I run because it's good for my heart. I kind of burn myself out on it, but I actually enjoy it. So I have found things. I've been fortunate where I kind of like loved lifting almost from like the get-go. And so I didn't have to fall in love with it. But treat it like a relationship. Like you don't love your partner from the first date. If you do, great. Proud of you. That's great. That's awesome. I've never experienced that. But if you do, that's great. Otherwise, you build the relationship. Like you take the time. You wine and dine them. You get to know them a little bit more. You try some things out, see how it fits, you learn a little bit, you adjust, and then eventually you fall in love. You can do the exact same thing with weightlifting. And again, I'm going to argue that like resistance training, like the standard bodybuilding-esque style training with some like functionality mixed in, is going to be more beneficial when it comes to building muscle and like body composition changes. It doesn't mean it's the only way to lift, and it doesn't mean it's the only thing you have to do. And I always want to give those caveats because I think it's so important. But that's huge. Like, enjoy what you're doing. Why is that such an underrated thing? Like, it is so, and like, I get it. It's really fun to be like, I'm going through a heartbreak, or I'm reading my old texts from my ex, or I'm thinking about this thing as fuel for my workout. I'm here to say F those things completely. This is my opinion. I'm entitled to have an opinion. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. Do it because you enjoy it. Do it because you deserve to feel great. Do it because you deserve to feel strong. You deserve to be well fed. Like, do these things for you. F those other people. Seriously. I just had a conversation with my friend about this because like, I don't really like the whole revenge body thing. I know I've kind of like gone off topic, so I'm gonna get back into it in a second, but I don't really like the whole revenge body thing. And like, I get it. It's cool. It's like a good marketing tactic too. But like, I don't want to do anything for those people who hurt me. You don't deserve that energy or time or attention of mine. They've probably already taken enough of yours. Like, I do this stuff because I want to feel amazing, because I know I deserve to be strong. I have nothing to prove to those people. F those people. They're not in my life for a reason. And they're not in your life for a reason. So that was my little brief tangent. But as I was getting back to the list, so some of the things like I had already mentioned was I find ways to move that I really enjoy. I prioritize my sleep. And again, when I say move, it's not just strength training. Like, I like going on walks. I like going on hikes. I go for runs on occasion. I go to spin classes every once in a while. I ditched the all or nothing mentality around having to do something all the time. Like, I used to sign up for classes and then I would get convinced to do like the 10 class pass or to sign up for like their monthly program. And then I would never go. And I'm like, you know, for anything except for the gym, I'm a once in a while kind of gal, and that's okay. I'll pay my 20 to 30 drop in rate. I'll take it because I'm not going to go enough to make a full membership worth it. And I have to accept that. So ditching the all or nothing mentality and like truly prioritizing your energy and effort on the things that are going to be the biggest needle movers and also give you the biggest benefit to what you're hoping to achieve. And then finally, you have to normalize setbacks. I know you kind of already said this about like the whole relationship thing, but the more that you can release this need for perfection, and I'm gonna be a little brutally honest where like maybe this isn't relevant to everybody, but like I think that this is something that I wish somebody had said to me. My need for perfection stood in the way of me even trying for so long. And that was like my whole high school life. And I'm very fortunate where, again, like my freshman year of college, because everything that happened, I just started taking messy action. I didn't care about looking stupid. I didn't care what other people thought or what other people said. I didn't. Because I was like, one, this is probably going to sound ridiculous, but at the time, because I was so young, I was like, I have nothing to live for anyways. So like, my boyfriend's gone, like I'm sad. And so I was like, I don't care what other people say. I'm gonna find my purpose. So I started just taking messy action. And like, that is my big secret. I would say that's the biggest secret that's gotten me here and kept me here. It's the biggest secret of why I gained and lost weight too, because I just tried things and didn't know how to learn from them effectively. But I tried. And I just didn't stop. So the things I do now, like, again, making sure I'm eating like 30 grams of protein every single meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, bare minimum. I'm trying to get 20 to 25 grams of fiber every single day. I make sure I drink my water. I go for walks or move my body in some way. I am kind to myself. I practice patience with myself. Like that's basically the condensed version of everything that I just said. And I'm able to maintain it because I'm no longer looking at everything in absolutes. I'm no longer trying to be perfect. I now have all of the habits in place that are very easy for me to do. They take thought. Like I still have to think about going on a walk. They take effort. I have to go on the walk. And they take time and energy. Like I know those things. But I've now figured out how to put those things into my life in a way that's actually enjoyable, fun, sustainable. Like it doesn't take that much time. It doesn't take all of my energy and effort. And so like I hope that this actually gives you like actionable things to think about or things to consider as you're trying to lose weight and keep it off, because you have to stop trying to get progress as fast as possible. That's one of the reasons that we end up gaining the weight back, because we do things in an unsustainable way. You have to be okay with recognizing you're gonna try things and they're not gonna be the answer. And you're just gonna have to learn from it and move on. But like, that's the main stuff. It's not super shiny. It's not super sexy. It's not some huge secret. It truly was allowing myself to learn from all of these things and learning to just love a lifestyle that incorporated a lot of this. Do I expect everyone to be able to do this? No, I understand a lot of people have kids and a lot of people have like full-time jobs that don't revolve around fitness. Like I'm never ignorant to the fact that like I have a lot of availability and accessibility to things. Does that mean that you're not capable of doing those things? No, you are. It's just going to look different, and that's okay. Like, it is okay. I want it to look in a way that's exciting to you. So again, like I hope this gave you actionable steps. If it did, I always appreciate if you leave a 5-star rating and review, because it does support the show. Always feel free to message me. Like my DMs are always open. I tell people that all the time. They're always open. I love conversations. I love talking to people. Like this is what I'm passionate about, and this is what I love just talking about all the time. So if you ever need anything, my DMs are always open. Otherwise, as always, don't be a dick, especially to yourself. And I'll see you in the next one.